Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Lamed Beis, we notice a Mishnah. The general discussion that we will be embarking upon concerns the issue of a delay during the Shechita. That's known as Shehiya. And we have offered this as our topic heading in the outside margin under the heading Nosei, topic heading Shi'ur Shia. What constitutes the amount of time that would disqualify a slaughtering based on a delay in the middle? The Mishnah. Noflo Sakin Vigbia. The knife fell in the middle of his shechting of the animal, and until he picked it up, there was a delay. Naflu Kalov Vehigbion, in the middle of his slaughtering, his clothing fell and he paused in order to pick them up. Hishchiz Esasakin, before doing a shchita, he sharpened a knife, started to then shecht the earth, and became tired. Bo Chavero Veshochat, and his friend, a replacement shochet, came and took over in the middle. Now, im shoho kedei shechita psula, if there was a delay kedei shechita in order to accomplish a shechita, that would render the shechita unfit. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im shoho kedei bikur, if he paused or delayed an amount of time to check out, to investigate. What that means will be discussed in the Gemara. My Kedei Shechita. The Mishnah mentioned that the amount of time that would constitute a pause or a delay that would render the Shechita unfit was termed Kedei Shechita. What is meant by Kedei Shechita? Omar Rav Kedei Shechitas Behemo Acheres. The amount of time it would take to slaughter another animal. Now we have a question. Amri le Rav Kahana Rav Asi the Rav. Rav Kahana and Rav Asi posed a question to Rav. There are two sides of the question, and you can see we've noted them as Aleph and then the next line Beis with an O Dilma phrase squiggle underlined. O Dilma meaning or possibly the second alternative. So they ask Rav, when you say Kedei Shechita means Kedei Shechitas Behema Acheres, what exactly is the standard? Is it as follows? Kedei Shechitas Behema LeBehema V'Oif LeOif. The amount of time depends on what you are slaughtering. In other words, the amount of time that would constitute a Shehiyah, a pause, depends. If you are slaughtering an animal, then the amount of time it would take to slaughter a similar animal. And if you happen to be slaughtering a bird, then the shehiyah for a bird would be the amount of time it would take to slaughter a bird. Oy Dilma, or possibly, the standard of pause is really singular and across the boards. Af behema le'of, the amount of time that would render that would constitute a pause in a bird slaughtering would be the amount of time to shecht another animal. So that the standard of pause, of time, constituting pause, would be across the boards the amount of time to shecht a behema, even if you happen to be engaged in slaughtering a bird. So the question was posed to Rav. Omar Lohu, Rav responded to them as follows. Before we see Rav's actual sheet on this, as far as his response to them, he says as follows, Lo havet badichna be bechavivi de ishaile. I wasn't I hadn't found favor in the eyes of Chavivi. Chavivi is my uncle, Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was Rav's uncle. And Rav says that on the day that this issue came up, and he was studying with his uncle, Rabbi Chia, apparently there might have been some type of strain in the relations on that day, and therefore the Rav didn't feel it appropriate to pose the question to his uncle, so he never heard from his uncle, from Rabbi Chia, what the halacha is regarding this topic. However, the Gemara goes on, in which we see Rav's own shita presented. Itmar, Omar Rav, Kedei Shchitas Behemo LeBehemo VeOif LeOif. Rav says that the amount of time that would constitute a pause depends on what you are shechting. Shmuel Omar Afilu Behemo LeOif. Shmuel presents the more lenient approach that even when shechting a bird, a shihia would be only if you paused enough time to slaughter a much larger creature and animal. V'chein ki also Ravin Omar Rabbi Yochanan Afilu Behemo LeOif. Rabbi Yochanan follows Shmuel's approach that even the amount of time to shech the behema would be the amount of time causing a pause when shechting, when slaughtering a bird. Rabbi Chananya Omar, Kidei Shiyovi Behemo Acheres V'yishchoit. Rabbi Chananya will translate what he said. He said, what constitutes a pause? The amount of time to find a behema some other place and bring it over here to where you are shechting and shecht it. That is the amount of time that would constitute a pause. The Gemara asks on his approach, Yavi, with a tone of wonderment, Yavi, afilu me alma. You say the amount of time that constitutes a pause would be the amount of time to bring a behema to this site. Even from some faraway place. Well, then nosato devorecha l'shiurim. Then you've made a halacha that is varying or non-objective. By animals are nearby, other times animals are far away. So are you going to tell me that the shiur zman of shia depends on how much time it takes to find an animal from outside and bring it over here? That depends, and that's called nosato devorecha l'shiurim, which is a halachic standard that is not objective. Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa explains what the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina is, and it's as follows. Oimedes lahatil iko binayu. Rabbi Chanina didn't mean to say that a pause depends on how much time it is to bring a behemoth from some outside source, but rather the behemoth is standing right here. And we have spoken about the amount of time to slaughter an animal. One slaughters an animal when it's lying on the ground with its neck drawn and ready to be slaughtered. What about factoring in the amount of time it takes to bring the animal down to the floor? That amount of time, that extra amount of time, will be, in fact, the point of difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. And Rashi explains all of this and points out that Rabbi Yochanan states his opinion as to what constitutes a pause as referring to the amount of time to do the shechita alone. Rabbi Chanina says no, and Rabbi Chanina is more lenient. He says the amount of time that would constitute a pause that would ruin a shechita is not only the amount of time to do the slaughtering itself, but also you have to consider the amount of time to bring the animal down to the floor. So that's what Rav Papa points out. Oimedes lahatil iko binayo. That will be the point of difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chananya. By the way, in our markings, the reason for the circling of these two names is because of what the Gemara just said. We wanted to point out that there is a difference between these two shitas specifically. Amri b'ma'rova mishmeid Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Another shi'ur zman, another amount of time in terms of defining a pause, kedei shiagbieno v'yarbitzeno v'yishchoit. dako ledako vegaso legaso. He says the amount of time to pick up an animal and then throw it down to the floor and slaughter it. That is what would constitute a shihiya, if you paused that amount of time. But now he makes it subjective, namely, the shiur zman of pick up and put down an animal depends. If you're slaughtering a small type creature, meaning sheep and goats, that's a behemoth daka, so then it's the amount of time to pick up and throw down and slaughter a behemoth daka. And if you happen to be slaughtering a large animal, then legaso, the vegaso legaso means the amount of time to pick up and then throw down onto the floor a large animal, a cow. Omar Rava, Hashochi Besakin Ra, Afilu Kol Hayom Kulo Ksheira. We should point out that we have a slash mark before Rava, because this represents a, we'll say, a new train of thought, new subject, and we are, of course, within the general realm of Shihiya, but this is a new train of thought, hence we put in the slash. So Rava says, one who is slaughtering with a smooth but dull knife, that's a sakin ra, a dull knife, even if he is doing the cutting, all takes him all day, kshera. Now we have to state what Rashi points out as a havamina. The thought is that he is doing a slicing action with this dull knife, cutting into the animal's neck, and it's taking him a long time, and there are pauses in the meantime, but as long as the pauses are not, like we said above, too long, the pauses themselves don't ruin the shechita. That which we've just said is a lefi the havamin of the Gemara. This may change later. Boi Rava, shios ma'u shi'itstarfu. What is the din if you have delays that themselves, in and of each one, it is not too long, but you have several of these small delays, do they join up to constitute a shi'ur shihiya? Well, if that's what you're asking, well, couldn't he have answered that from his own teaching, v'tikshot lo midideh? Why not conclude it from that which he just taught with regard to the use of the dull knife? How did we describe the use of the dull knife? He's cutting with it all day, one animal, and there are small pauses in the middle, but those small pauses don't create a problem. As we can see that Rava said, the shechitas kshera. So couldn't Rava have responded to his own question by that which he said, which he taught, that shihios are not mitzarev? The Gemara says, no, he couldn't have answered his question, because the case of the slaughtering with the dull knife, hasam, the dull knife case, was bedelo shah. There was no delay at all, not even a minor delay. So he doesn't have a source through which to answer this question. The question of shios maoshi itzdarfu. Boi Ravuna braid Rav Nosson. Shoho b'miut simonim mahu. After a person finished shechting the majority of the neck organs, he's now at the miut, the final minority. What is the din if he does a shihiya, a pause, during the miut ho'acharoi, during the final the balance of the neck organs after he already had shechted the majority? Teku, this remains unresolved. The two sides of this issue are explained in Rashi under the Dibor Maschil Mahu, in the middle of the wide lines. Rashi says, Mi amrinu kiven da ovad le ruba is kasher. Do we say that once he did the majority, it now is a kosher shechita? And we wouldn't care if as he continues, he makes a pause. Oy dilmo kiven the hoder v'gomro, or it could be that since he's continuing beyond the basic majority, but he continues the shechita, that's kiven the hoder v'gomro, kula chada shchita hi. Kula chada shchita. The whole thing is viewed as one shchita. And therefore, a shihia in the miut basra, in the final minority, would be a problem. So, as the Gemara says, this remains unresolved. And as far as psak halacha is concerned, Rashi himself says that we will be machmir. Reb Shimon Omer, im shah kedei bikur. My kedei bikur. What is meant by the amount of time to check out? Om Rabbi Yochanan kedei bikuro shel chacham. The amount of time it would take to have a sage check the knife. That is the standard by which we would say you have violated shihia. The Gemara asks, im kain nosata devarecha l'shiurim. As we saw above, you've then stated a very subjective type halacha. And why is that? Sometimes a chacham is nearby, and sometimes a chacham is far away. So if you're going to say that a pause depends on the amount of time to bring the knife to a chacham to check out, well, it takes, sometimes the chacham is located far away, so then you'd have a long shiur zman for shia. And sometimes the chacham is located nearby, making the amount of time to find the chacham, the sage, very minimal. So that can't be. As we said before, when halacha states rules, it doesn't state it in such a varying and subjective fashion. So the Gemara clarifies, Elo kedei bikur tabo chacham. We're talking about the amount of time it would take a shochet, who himself is a chacham, to check out the knife. Well, the shochet is standing right there. He's on the spot. So we're interested in simply the amount of time it would take for a chacham to check out a knife. Check out meaning making sure that it's notch free. The Mishnah. Shochat es haveshet. We're talking about the shechita of a behema. A behema needs two neck organs to be cut in their majority. So the first of several cases is shochat es haveshet upasak es hagargeres. He did a proper shechita on the esophagus, and the gargeres, the trachea, got dislodged and it was like ripped out of place. Oi posak es hagargeres, or the trachea got dislodged, the achakach shochat es haveshet, and then after we have an animal with a ripped out gargeres, he then went and shechted the veshet. Oi shochat echod mehen vehimtin lo ad shemesa, or he shechted one of the neck organs and just waited there until the animal died. Oi shehichlid es hasakin tachas hasheni uposko, or he inserted the knife into the neck, and while the knife was, let's say, internal, he then cut the simonim, moving in an upward fashion from down up, as Rashi explains. Reading that last case again, Oy shehichlid es hasakin tachas hasheni uposkoi, Rabbi Yesheva v'omer nevela, Rabbi Akiva Omer Trefa. We have a machlokis tanoim initially as to how to view these problematic shitas. Rabbi Sheva saying that they are nevela, and Rabbi Akiva saying trefa. A trefa does not communicate tuma, as opposed to a nevela, which does. They are, of course, both forbidden in eating. Klal Omar Rabbi Yesheva of Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yesheva stated a rule in the name of Rabbi Yeshua. Two parts. Aleph, kol shenifsala v'shchitasa nevela. Any animal that became ruined during the shchita, that makes it a nevela. Kol sheshchitasa karoi v'davar acher goram la lifsol, trefa. Anything where the shchita was done properly and some outside problem arose and making it unfit, that would be a trefa. the Hoideloi Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva then conceded to Rabbi Yeshevov and agreed with Rabbi Yeshevov. The result being that he would agree that the above cases that were said at the beginning of the Mishnah would in fact be nevelas. The Gemara. Before learning the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin for our nosei, our topic heading. Stira bein mishnasenu, the Mishnah betchilas perek shlishi. We will see a presentation of a contradiction between our Mishnah and the beginning of the third perek of this maseches. Ech lahagdir psukas hagageres. How to classify an animal whose trachea has become dislodged. Lefi mishnasenu nevela. According to our Mishnah, this is classified as a nevela. Lefi paragimol trefa. As we mentioned earlier, the difference between the two, nevela and trefa, has to do with the conveyance of ritual impurity, of tuma. A nevela is metama, a trefa is not. Both, though, are forbidden to be eaten. So the Gemara opens up with a quote of our Mishnah, Shochat es haveshet v'chulei, and in this v'chulei, v'chulei meaning etc., the Mishnah had mentioned, amongst other things, posak es hagageres v'achakach shochat es haveshet, where there was an animal that had a dislodged or an uprooted trachea, and then he proceeded to shecht the veshet. And the Mishnah concluded by saying, "V'hoida lo Rabbi Akiva." Rabbi Akiva agreed to Rabbi Yeshevov's approach, classifying that as a nevela. So, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, all opinions agree that a psukas hagargeres, an animal with a dislodged trachea, would be classified as a nevela. V'romini, and we raise as a contradiction to this, Elu trefos v'behema. We've dashed underlined the term trefa because there is a list of things in that Mishnah that are all classified as trefa, and amongst them is nekuvas haveshet upsukas hagargeres, an animal with a pierced esophagus or an animal with a dislodged or uprooted trachea. In our Mishnah, we said that according to all opinions, a psukas hagargeres is a nevela. If that be the case, then who would be the author of the Mishnah in the third perek, which classifies that as a trefa? As we continue in the Gemara, we notice markings, geometric forms, and we will explain them by glancing at the outside margin. We have a mivne, a structural note. The diamonds that you see are tshuvos, are answers, liyashev astiro b'mishnayis, to resolve the seeming contradiction between the two mishnayis. Triangles are used in this first section of Gemara as a means of ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of the discussion. With the triangle tip facing upwards, that represents tshuvas rova, rova's answer, or we'll say responses to questions. With the tip facing downwards, those will be challenges. Those will be kushos olav, questions on rava. We also would like to note that in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we've kept track of the numbers of the answers that are given to resolve the contradiction. We see a 1, and accompanying the 1 is an aleph, and later a 1 beis. These are two stages in Rava's answer. Following that, we have Reb Shimon ben Lokish, and after him, Reb Yochanan, all offering resolutions to this contradiction. So the Gemara continues, Omar Rava loy kasha. There is no contradiction. Kan sheshochat ulebesof posak. Our Mishnah represents a case, and this will be explained momentarily in the Gemara, but for the time being, our Mishnah represents a case of he first shechted, cut the veshet, the esophagus, and then the trachea became dislodged. Kan, the Mishnah in the third parak that classifies things as trefa, sheposak ulubasov shochat. where the trachea became dislodged, and then he shechted the veshet, the esophagus. The Gemara now goes over these two cases. Shochat ulebesov pasak, where first he shechted the veshet, and then the trachea became dislodged. Nifseles b'shchita hi. That is considered a case where the psul developed, the disqualification took place during the shchita, and therefore that becomes a nevela. Posak ulebesov shochat, a case where the trachea became dislodged before he engaged in the slaughtering. Kidover acher goram lo liposel damyo. That is viewed as if as something, as an outside factor or an outside cause ruined the animal. Namely, an outside cause, something other than during the shechita process. As a result of that, we classify it as a trefa. This distinction itself was stated by Rav Yeshevov at the end of the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, where he said, "Kol shenifsala b'shchitasa," where the psul, the disqualification, took place during the shchita, that is a nevela. The Gemara goes on though with a question on Rava. Esvei Rav Acha bar Huna l'Rava. We quote from, or we could say, we paraphrase our Mishnah. It's essentially, from Rashi, you get the feeling that the source that you see in a box is essentially our Mishnah, where our Mishnah classifies both of these cases that Rava just tried to present as distinguished from one another. They are, in the Mishnah, grouped together. Shochat es haveshet, uposak es hagageres, posak es hagageres, v'achakach shochat es haveshet, nevela. Notice we've dashed, underlined the second example, posak es hagageres, and used an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and now align this with the previous line with the arrow, in which it said posak ulebesov shochat. That is just like this dashed underlined case. Above, Rava wanted to say that is classified as a trefa, and here in our Mishnah, it's classified as nevela. So Rava responds, Emo, with regard to the Mishnah, say as follows. When it says posak es hagageres, it really means ukvar shochat es haveshet meikora. That when the gargaris became dislodged, it became dislodged after you had already shechted the veshet. And therefore, it's a psul during the shechita, and that is why it's called a nevela. Now, we have now an objection to that answer. Omar Le, Rav Acha, responds to Rava and says, Shtei tshuvos v'davar, two responses to what you just offered as an answer. Chado dehainu kamaisa. According to your reading of the Mishnah, then there would be no difference between case 2 and case 1. Case 2 was, you just explained that Pasak Zgeres was on the was following where the Veshet was slaughtered prior to that. Well, that's what case 1 in the source said. It said Shochat es haveshet, and then Pasak es hagargeres. So according to your answer, there wouldn't be two distinct cases. The Oid Ha Tanya the Achar Kach. And furthermore, it says in the source, it uses the expression the Achar Kach. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara, pointing, or to be paralleled with the arrow above, pointing to the line in which you see the Achar Kach dot underline, indicating order, that first was Pasak es hagageres, and then after that Shochat es haveshet. And not like Rava said, where Ukvar Shochat es haveshet mikor, that the veshet was already cut beforehand. Elo Omar Rava. So Rava responds with a new approach, and that's why we have a diamond here, and calling it one base. Instead of learning the Mishnah at the beginning of the third perek as saying Elu Trefos, and taking the word Trefo literally as Trefo as distinct from Nevela, one should understand the Mishnah as follows. Elu Asuros Kotoni. The Mishnah at the beginning of the third perek has a long list of different problems, all of which are osur, are forbidden for eating. The yesh mehen nevelos, the yesh mehen trefos. Amongst them, there are some that are nevelos and some that are trefos. And amongst those that would be called nevela would be, in fact, the case of psukas hagargeras. Rashi says of on the upper part of the narrow lines, v'yesh mehem nevelos, kagon nekubas haveshet, upsukas hagargeres, the isra mokom shchita didhu, where the shchita site became problematic or ruined. And as a result of the shchita site, the place on the anatomy that requires shchita, where that became ruined, that immediately classifies it as a nevela, as opposed to the other items found in the list at the beginning of the third parak, which are trefos. Before going on in the Gemara, we now encounter a bracketed section. The bracketed section is really a raising a question on a detail here. Following the brackets, the Gemara offers another resolution, that of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, to the contradiction. Within the brackets, though, we have the Gemara raises two questions. So the role of the brackets essentially is to, for an initial skipping, in order to be able to see that following these brackets comes another answer to resolve the contradiction between the two Mishnayos. With all that having been said, we can now learn the Gemara straight through. Once you mentioned that nevelos are taught in the Mishnah in the beginning of the third perek, and the beginning of the third perek Mishnah has quite a few examples of osir animals, and since, once again we're going to repeat ourselves, and since according to Rava that Mishnah mentions nevelos as well, so we have a suggestion here. Well, you can add more examples of nevela that could have been listed. The lech shov nami dechiskia, why not list Chizkiah's teaching? The Omer Chizkiah, Asa Gistra Nevela. If one, while shechting the animal, cuts the animal totally apart, that's called making it into a Gistra. That's a Nevela. The Lech Shov Nami the Rebbe Elazar. Why not include in the list Rebbe Elazar's din? The Omer Rebbe Elazar, Not La Yerech V'Chalal Shela Nevela. He says that an animal whose leg has been removed, and in addition to that, the socket in which the leg was attached is now also is now visible as a halal, as an opening. That kind of animal equals nevela. So why, if the Mishnah at the beginning of third parak, according to Rava, includes examples of nevelos, why are these two not included? The Gemara answers, I'll tell you why they're not included. Ki kotoni, the Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak teaches nevela delo mitama mechayim, examples of nevelas that don't communicate tuma while they are still alive. Aval nevela de mitama mechayim lo kotoni, but nevelas that, even though they appear to be physically alive, nevertheless they are capable of communicating tuma, those examples, those kind of things are not the subject of the Mishnah at the beginning of the third perek. So an example, as was cited here with the nitlo yerech v'chalal shela, that is an animal that is mitama even though it appears to still be alive. Now we have a diamond, so this reminds us to go back to the list of resolutions of how to resolve the stira between our Mishnah, which said that a psukas hagageris is a nevela, and the Mishnah at the third perek, at the beginning of the third perek, which classified psukas hagageris as a trefa. So Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Omar, don't change the lashon of the Mishnah at the beginning of third perek. Rather, the Mishnah says elu trefos, and not like Rava said asuros. Nevertheless, kan sheshochat b'mokom chatach, kan sheshochat shelo b'mokom chatach. The Gemara will explain the difference. Shochat b'mokom chatach. If a person shechted in the kone, which we call the psukas hagegeres, at a point that the kone was already rove open, then nifsala b'shchita hi. That's classified as nifsala b'shchita, because the knife entered the knife for shchita entered a part of the trachea that was already cut open. So it's the knife contact with the hole, so to speak. Shelo b'mokum chatach. If you had a psukas hagargeres and you cut it, but not at a point that it was already cut open, kidover acher goram lo lifso damyo. It's considered as if the animal became ruined by something outside of the shechita, outside of a ruined shechita, and that being the case, we call that a trefa. The Gemara has a kasha. So this is a long question. As you can see, it's accompanied by a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. You'll notice a kuf that's encircled with a descending dashed line, indicating that all the lines opposite this dashed line form the question. Omi Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Hachi. Did Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish really say such a thing? Namely, that you can have a psukas hagargeres that's considered a trefa. And he said that it would be considered trefa, like if you had shechted shelo b'mokom hachatach. However, the question that we're going to, the issue we're focusing on is that you have an animal that's a psukas hagargeres, and it still could be classified as a trefa. How could that be, according to Shimon Lakish? The Ha'omer of Shimon Lakish, we are now presented with another case, but when we finish learning this other case, we will try to extract from it a principle. And from the principle, we will then focus on the question that's being asked here. So Rav Shimon Lakish has said, Shochat es hakona v'achach nikvo hareya k'shera. If one cut the trachea, he didn't yet cut the esophagus, the veshet. Before he got to the veshet, he finished cutting the kona, and then the lung was punctured. Shera. We say that this animal is kosher. The reason for that is, and even though the puncturing of a lung in general makes an animal forbidden, becomes a trefa that way, but what happened here is that the trachea, you know, everyone knows that the extension of the trachea becomes the lungs. So at the point that the trachea was shechted, we have no interest in whatever happens further on with regard to the lungs. Why is that? So the Gemara explains, Almo kemanda mancho bedikulo damyo. Once you have the psukas hargergeres, the cutting of the gargeres, in our case, in this last case that was cited, it was a cutting because of a proper shechita on the kone. It's therefore viewed as if it's mancha b'dikula, that it's lying in a basket. In other words, it's not in the animal anymore. In our mind's eye, of course, we're speaking in theory. So let's review this point. A kone, rove of which, the majority of which is cut, at that point, it's considered as if it's not there. And that, therefore, whatever happens to the lungs, it's of no concern to us. It's not there anymore. Well, now, applying this analysis back to our case, hocha nami, so too, when you have a psukas hagargeres, and then you attempt to shecht the veshet, keman de mancha bedikula damya. the Psukas HaGargeres is to be viewed as if it's, let's just say over a point that we have to say more accurately than we said a second ago. Hochanami, so too, when it comes to a Psukas HaGargeres that you then shecht after, you cut the, we said mistakenly before the veshet, no, you come to shecht the kona after it's already been rove cut. But once the kona is rove cut, or rove, Psukas HaGargeres is rove dislodged or uprooted, it is to be viewed, like we said just before, as if it's not there anymore. Well, an animal that has a situation like that, that basically then we're saying it doesn't have a kona. An animal like that, a behemoth, that doesn't have a kona, because we're saying it's viewed as if it's not there, cannot leave the realm of nevela. In other words, in general, a proper shechita declassifies an animal, or is metayer it from becoming a nevela. But if you have an animal that cannot undergo a proper shechita, by virtue of the fact that you have an animal that doesn't have a kona, it has just a veshet in our mind's eye. And why is that? Because Psukas HaGargeres makes it kamadaman chabadikulot, as if it's not there. You can't shecht an animal who has just a veshet. And therefore, an animal like this that you, let us say, had a Psukas HaGargeres, and then shecht it, that won't take it out of the realm of being a nevela. So what do we see here? How is it then that Reish Lakish could possibly say that if you were shochat a Psukas HaGargeres shelo b'mokam achatach, that would be a treifa? But a Psukas HaGargeres is an animal that can't experience a proper shechita, and as a result of that, it can't leave the realm of nevela. And that's our question. How then could Reish Lakish beforehand say that a Psukas HaGargeres could possibly be a treifa? Elo Omar Reb Chiya Bar Abba Om Reb Yochanan Lo Kashya. He is this is now a new approach to resolving the contradiction that we opened up our sugya with. And he says, Kan Koidim Chazora, Kan Leachar Chazora. The Mishnah that's taught in the beginning of the third parak that classified the Psukas HaGargeres as a treifa, that's before Rabbi Akiva. That's, we can say that's a Mishnah authored by Rabbi Akiva before he changed his mind to agree with Rabbi Yeshevov, as we saw in our Mishnah. Khan, our Mishnah that says the Psukas HaGargeres will be a nevela, that's la'achar chazora. That's after Rabbi Akiva backs out and agrees with Rabbi Yeshevov. The Mishnah in the third parak didn't get changed because of the fact that Rabbi Akiva changed his mind. So the Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak simply represents an earlier stage of Rabbi Akiva's learning. Gufa. This now is a quote of that which was mentioned, and the Gemara will now deal with it in greater detail, that which was mentioned in passing above. But before we continue in the Gemara itself, let's glance at our topic heading, the Nosei. Shochat es akona, the acharkach, after shechting akona, then one of two things happens. Nikva horea, the lung gets punctured. A second scenario is after having shechted the kona, after having cut the kona, Nikfu b'nei me'ayim, the innards or the intestines become punctured. By way of anatomy, the rea is connected to, or is the continuation of, the kona, the trachea. The me'ayim are not associated with the respiratory system. They are a continuation of the veshet, of the esophagus digestive apparatus. Now, the Gemara. Gufo Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Shochat es akona, the acharkach nikfo horea, kshera. If one slaughtered the kona and then the rea developed a hole, there's no problem. Even though an animal that
happens to have a hole in the lung would be a trefa. In this case, the hole developed after the kona was shechted. Reish Lakish says there is no problem. Omar Rava, lo Omar Rebbe Shimon ben Lakish, ella bereya. Rebbe Shimon ben Lakish that taught a point of leniency. The leniency is limited to a hole developing in the rea. Hayul v'chay rea tuya b'kona. Since the rea, literally the rea's life is dependent on the kona, but we can say since the rea is an extension of the kona. Once the kona is properly shechted. Before we use the analogy and said, the Gemara said it's as if it's kamanda mancha b'dikula, it's as if it's out of the animal. It's lying in a basket outside the animal. Once you did the shechita to that particular neck organ, it's finished, it's done, it's not there anymore. And therefore the rea, which is an extension of it, we don't care what happens. The job has been done already. Avol b'vnei me'ayim loy. However, Rava says, in explaining Reish Lakish, that if after shechting the kona, the intestine developed a hole, that would be a trefa, and you would not be allowed to eat that. Maskif lo Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera attacks this approach, and Rabbi Zera has a whole different approach, at this point at least, to how to analyze these situations. Rabbi Zeiro says, "Me'achar shenoldu bo simone trefa hitarta." You were willing to say that after you did a proper shechita, and then simone trefa developed, and you were matir it. You said there was no problem with the hole that developed in the lung once you did a proper shechita to the kana. Mali barea, mali b'vnei me'ayim. What difference does it make whether the simon trefa happened in the rea or happened in the b'nei me'ayim, in the intestines? Now, Rashi explains that Rabbi Zera is coming from a different vantage point, and he is of the opinion that trefus cannot develop in chatzi chius. What do we mean by chatzi chius? In order to remove the life breath from a behema, you need to cut two neck organs, the kona and the veshet. Trefus poses a threat only to an animal that is fully alive, so to speak, where nothing has been cut. However, once one of the neck organs are cut, in our example, once the kona is cut, the disqualification known as trefus cannot have any effect. And therefore, just like a hole in the lung is generally speaking an example of a trefa, but it does not pose a threat if it happened after the kona was shechted, so to any other kind of trefus won't pose a threat after the kona is shechted. It may be pointed out that according to Rabbi Zera, it may very well be that as a result of this, just like you're saying, just like it was said that after the kona was shechted, a hole in the lung doesn't disqualify the animal, a hole in the me'ayim will also not disqualify, and you can go ahead and eat it. The Gemara goes on now and says, V'hodar bei Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera himself retracts from what he just said. And this retraction basically says he will rather adopt the approach we saw before taken by Reish Lakish. And that is that it's only with regard to the lungs, the hole in the lung, that we say after the kona was shechted, we say that it is keman demancha b'dikula. And not like he said, just Rabbi Zera just said now, that there's no trefus b'chatzi chius. We've labeled this Gemara as a long point. This long point being the point that Rabbi Zera, and how we see that Rabbi Zera retracts from what he said.
this discussion carries over to the upper part of Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. This long point marking, as you can see, continues till the fourth line from the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We might note ahead of time that after the Gemara says that Rabbi Zera backed out, Rav Acha will point out to the Ravina that maybe Rabbi Zera isn't backing out at all. And whatever Rabbi Zera says here, he is saying only to Rava on his terms, but not that he himself holds by this. But in the meantime, the Gemara is of the opinion that Rabbi Zera has retracted. The Hodar Bei Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera has retracted, it retracts from what he said, that there is Ein Trefus by Chatzi Chius, and rather says that the explanation of the issue of the lung getting punctured after the shechting of the Kona, that is not a problem, only because it's Keman Deman Chabedikula, but not a general rule of Ein Chatzi, Ein Trefus B'Chatzi Chius. Now, where do we see Rabbi Zera retracting? Mideboi Rabbi Zera, from the fact that Rabbi Zera raises the following question: Nikvu b'nei me'ayim bein simin l'simin mahu. What is the din if the intestines develop the hole after the kona was shechted? Mi mitzdarif simin rishon l'simin sheni l'tara midei nevela oiloi. Let us say a few words of introduction before going over this piece of Gemara. When shechting in general, a proper shechita, what is the result? First of all, a proper shechita enables the animal to be eaten. There's another halachic result of a proper shechita, and that is that the animal will not be metama as a nevela. As opposed to an animal that, let us say, drops dead or experiences a ruined shechita, it will be an avela. An animal that receives a proper shechita will not be metame. In this case, when the first of the two simonim, when the kona was being shechted, it was being shechted in anticipation of it being matir, the animal, to be eaten, and also to remove the tumas nevela problem. In our case, we said that the b'nei me'ayim developed a hole after the kona was shechted, before the veshet was shechted. An animal like this will not be able to be eaten, and that's at least what's implied by this question. The whole question is, will tumas nevela be removed? But nevertheless, it won't be able to be eaten. And this point is seen by skipping the bracketed section in the Gemara at the bottom of this Amid, and picking up from the Gemara the second line from the top of Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph, where it says, Ad kan lo iboya lo neletar mide nevela, avo bachila asura. As far as Rabbi Zera's question is concerned, he doesn't anticipate this animal becoming mutter b'achila whatsoever. Now, why, from that very point, that Rabbi Zera does not anticipate this animal as becoming mutter b'achila, we see that he's retracted from what he said above. Above, Rabbi Zera said that if you have an animal that whose kona was shechted, there can no longer be any trefus problems. And as a result of that, we said above that according to Rabbi Zera, after the kona is shechted, any holes that develop in any organs would not pose any problem, and if you can complete the shechita, you can go ahead and eat it. Here, he's not saying that. Here, he's asking about a case of the kona was shechted, and a hole developed in the b'nei me'ayim before he finished the shechita. He's not entertaining the possibility of it being eaten. So you see, he's retracted. His only question is, does the first simen, the kona that was shechted,
is it able to join up with the veshet that's being shechted? Now, when the veshet is cut, it's not cut with the anticipation of the animal being able to be eaten. It's only cut with a possibility of it working to be metayret midei nevela. The immediate question, or the local question, is can a simen that's shechted with two goals in mind join up with a simen that is shechted only with one goal in mind? Because they have this disparity between them, they can't join up and the animal will become a nevela. On the other hand, since they have in common the hope that there would be a removal of tumas nevela, they could join up. So let us read the Gemara again, five lines from the bottom. We mentioned that Rabbi Zera retracts from what he said above. Midavoy Rabbi Zera nikvu b'nei me'ayim bein simen l'simen mahu. What is the din of intestines that develop a hole after the kona was shechted? Mi mitstarv simen rishon l'simen sheni l'tar midei levela olo. Do we enable the first simen, the kona that was shechted, with two goals in mind, to join up with the simen sheni, the veshet, with only one goal in mind? And if the two simonim join up, then we will say we have effectively removed nevela as posing a problem, as removed the problem of tumas nevela. Skipping the bracketed section, we go to the second line from the top of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. Ad kan lo ibaya lon elo latara midei nevela. The question, as far as Rabbi Zera is concerned, only regards enabling the animal to be tohor from tumas nevela. Avol b'achila asura. But as far as achila is concerned, that Rabbi Zera acknowledges will be forbidden. So we see that Rabbi Zera retracted from what he said before. Before he had suggested that there's no trefus b'chatzichius. Chatzichius meaning an animal after the konat was shechted. Here, he is entertaining the possibility of trefus, and that would be the case if you say, as Gemara here points out, that he is not anticipating the animal to be able to be eaten at all. Why not? Because maybe it is a trefa. Not only, on the other hand, it may even be a nevela. Let's go over this Gemara we had, skip the bracketed section. Second line from the bottom. After Rabbi Zera raises the question about the Nikfu b'nei me'ayim bein simen l'simen, the Amrinon, and we say, Lav hainer deboy ilfa, is this not the same question as Ilfa's question? Ilfa raises a question concerning a pregnant animal, pregnant mother animal, being shechted. And while it's being shechted, the embryo reaches out of the womb, and the arm or the leg of the embryo emerges from within the mother, just the leg, between the simonim. The boy ilfa hotzi ubar es yodo bein simen l'simen mahu. What is the din of such an embryo? Mi mitstarif simen rishon l'simen sheni l'tara midei nevela oiloi. Do we say that the simen rishon of the mother that was being shechted, will join up with the simen sheni of the mother to make it such that that limb that emerged between the two simonim will not be a nevela? Or maybe the simonim don't join up. Anyway, we see from the case of Ilfa a discussion concerning problems that arise between the two simonim and the question of, do the two simonim join up? That seems to be quite similar to Rabbi Zeiro's question. The Gemara goes on, Ad kan lo ibaya lon elo letara midei nevela. Up till now, all that we are questioning is, does it become nevela or not? Avo b'achila asura. But as far as achila is concerned, the animal will not be eaten, because at the very least it will be a trefa. So we see that Rabbi Zera is backing out from what he originally said, that ein trefus b'chatzi chiyus. Here we see that there is a possibility of trefus b'chatzi chiyus. Omele Rav Acho Barav the Ravina. Dilmo liolam lo hodarbe. It may very well be that Rabbi Zera himself has not retracted from what he originally said. And he had originally said that once the kona is shechted, trefus cannot pose a problem. And if you complete the shechita, it can actually be eaten. Well, so then what's Rabbi Zera asking here about in the case when he raises his question about after the kona got shechted, the b'nei me'ayim developed a hole? Rabbi Zera l'dvorav d'rova k'omar, v'lei lo sviro lei. Taking a look at Rashi, l'dvorav d'rova, the omar li'el, Rava who commented before on Reish Lakish, who said, lo omar Reish Lakish elo borea. Reish Lakish issued his leniency only with regard to a hole that developed in the rea after Shechita Sakona. Avo b'vnei me'ayim trefa. This is what Rava said as far as Reish Lakish is concerned. But a hole in the B'nei Me'ayim after the Kona was shechted would result in it, yes, becoming a trefa. So Miboyalei the Rabbi Zera then raised the question on Rava's terms, Im Tahoira Miha Midei Nevela Oy Loi. On Rava's terms, who made a distinction between the Rea and the B'nei Me'ayim, Rabbi Zera, on the heels of Rava's distinction, is asking, okay, I see that there's a distinction between Rea and B'nei Me'ayim according to you. What is the din with regard to Tumas Nevela in such a case? As far as I personally am concerned, there is no difference between a hole in the Rea and a hole in the B'nei Me'ayim after the Kona was shechted properly. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.